Thank you, Justin. Good song service. Wonderful song service. This morning, if you will turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to get started on this chapter of scriptures. And it's going to be a long study. Did you turn that on? This morning we're getting started in 1 Corinthians 12. It's going to be a long study. I hope you will bear with me. But I was going to start in verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12, in order to identify the church. A lot of people have a lot of different ideas about 1 Corinthians 12. In fact, some commentators totally skip it. I looked at some preachers' websites online that I look at sometimes for thoughts, and they don't even have anything on that chapter. And the reason most of them don't is because it's a very controversial chapter. And once we understand this chapter, we understand a lot more about God. The idea and thinking of us as Christians is to remember what part God plays in our lives. Some of us are actually blessed more than others. And some of us are blessed less than others. In Romans chapter 9, the Lord tells us that he's the potter, we're the clay. And he'll take that same lump of clay and he'll make a vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor. Now, how does God decide which one to make honorable and which one to make dishonorable? Well, it's his decision, so to speak. God don't make decisions, but to make it understandable to us, that's God's decision. What we are, what we are, by God's grace. Paul recognized that, as we'll see this morning and tonight, and throughout this whole series, we'll probably learn that scripture more than any others in the Bible. Because there's more there to learn than we sometimes see. Sometimes it irritates me. It has become more irritable to me as I became a more mature man in the ministry as a pastor. See, I suffer a great responsibility in myself being a pastor because God's blessed me in that. He didn't bless you other men. He blessed me in that. I'm the only one in this church that God has called to be a minister and the only one in this church that God has called to be a pastor. And if you don't think that's a blessing above all blessings, you don't know what it's like to be a pastor. Greatest blessing on earth. But there's so many great responsibilities with that task. And with my educational level and my thinking sometimes, you have to wonder why God ever done such a thing. But he did. Now, I don't run around to Larry or Justin or Ronnie or Ronnie Jr. or Frank or any other men in the church and kick them around and say, why aren't you a pastor? What's your response going to be if I ask you that? You're going to say, well, the Lord hadn't called me. Right? See, you are what you are in your Christian life by the grace of God. And God has made all of us different. When we get to the subject of the church in verse 12 down, we're going to see that God made a diversity in the church. He put them in the church as it pleased him. Think about that. Think about that scripture we're going to get to eventually, that God put them in the church as he, or in the body, which is the church, as he was pleased. Should I give you church members credit for being here? For being members? Should I give Larry credit for being our treasurer, Frank credit for being our clerk, or Justin credit for being our song leader? No. You know why? That's what God made them. Ronnie served every one of them positions in this church. That's what God hath made you. And he's given you the ability to do your job. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, we want to think on the main topic of it as diversity. Is it a person's responsibility and fault that they don't understand the sovereignty of God? Some people will say yes, they haven't studied it, or they refuse it. Really? Is that the way we need to look at it, like it's their fault? If we studied the Word of God, isn't it the Holy Spirit that teaches us? Isn't it the Holy Spirit that teaches us? Is it possible that the Holy Spirit hasn't taught them the sovereignty of God? You know, when I studied the Bible, one thing I learned in the Bible is that Christians are supposed to love each other. In fact, the Lord says over in 1 John that if a Christian doesn't love another Christian, they're not saved. That's not basically, that's what God said. That love does not extend to your doctrine or your church membership. That love extends to the people that are in Christ Jesus as the children of God. See, I once woke up and I got to thinking. And that's what brought me to this altogether. Why is there so much diversity in the learning of the church among the members and in different churches? I know some brethren that if you don't agree like they do on everything or on 99% of everything, they just don't want you to be their friend. Will you please find that in that Bible? Please, somebody tell me where God told us that if Randy Dover, Tetra Canada, Sovereign Grace, don't believe something, he's not to be your friend. He can't be invited to speak in our church because there's one thing that we all have different opinions about, and he don't believe it. Show me where we are not supposed to fellowship with other Christians. I'm talking about Christians, folks. I'm not talking about people outside the Lord. I'm not talking about the Armenian churches. When I came to this church as pastor, there's two major thoughts, two major doctrines that separated me from the other six members that were here, or the six members that were here. I wouldn't remember them. One was Christmas. It is true, when I came here, I was a big celebrator of Christmas. Brother Hammond believed in Christmas. His family believed in Christmas. I didn't know there were Christians that didn't believe in Christmas. I didn't know this church, didn't know Brother Meek, didn't know Brother Cotton, didn't know Brother Thomas, didn't know many of the brothers. In fact, most of the Christians I know today, I didn't know before I came here. And I talked to the men of this church about those things. Two things. Oh yeah, I'm going to talk about the other one. That was one. My thinking has changed on that. While my family and I do celebrate somewhat, a small tit, small bit, I hate that holiday. The only reason I have any activity in it at all is because my family wants to. Condemn me if you want to. I don't celebrate it. I don't like it. I would vote to do away with it if we could, because it's a pagan holiday. But you can also say that if you get a paid holiday for that day, give that money back. I mean, I could get in. I'm not going to get into all that. But anyway, I'm just saying. The other thing was head coverings. There's two schools of thought on head coverings. One, that a woman's natural hair is her covering. And the other one is women should wear a covering over their head. And I believe that a woman's hair is her covering. I find a lot of my brothers and sisters in Christ believe with me. And I find that a lot don't. We have people, I say people, men and women in this church that believe that you should wear a head covering. And I have men and women in this church that don't think you have to. The one's hair is her covering. I'm not going to debate that either. What I'm doing here is showing a diversity among what we believe. I've been here as pastor going on 16 years believing those two things. This church has never asked me to change my thinking on either one or demanded that I can't change my thinking, nor does this membership believe or think less of me as their pastor because of those things. If you have, and going on 16 years in April, you've never told me that. See, we have a diversity of belief on that. Now, let me tell you this, and I'm going to be bold and straightforward with it. One of us is right, the other one is wrong. If I didn't believe what I believe, I would believe the other way. But we get people, pastors and church members from other churches at our Bible conference, they're mixed. Only some of the lesser experienced Christians ever say anything about it to anybody. Some from other churches have asked my wife. You know, if you want, my wife is ill, if you want to question her about something, why don't you come to her husband? I'm the one you need to question. I would appreciate it if anybody has questions for my wife, you come to her. I mean, to me, because she's not very well. But anyway, in saying that, we do believe different, don't we? And we get along. Why can't we get along believing different things, believing diverse things? This question, before we get into our scriptures, who taught you everything you know about the scriptures? And if you say anyone besides the Holy Spirit, you're wrong. But let me ask you this, and this is what woke me up to all this. If we have one Bible, and we do only have one, I'm not saying one version. The King James came from another version, but I believe it's the closest thing we have to the original Textus Receptus, and therefore I preach out of it. I hear a lot of the brothers criticizing other brothers for using other versions. That's not their job. That's not their responsibility. A man can do what he feels right in the Lord. But if we're all taught out of one Bible, by one Spirit, Why don't we all believe exactly, identically the same thing? Well, some people are smarter than others, really. So now you're going to give yourself credit for, you know what? I'm not a very bright man. In fact, of all the preachers that we were around at Bible conference, I'm probably the dullest apple there. I've got 11th grade education, and I hated school when I went there. Some people can empathize with that. Some people can only sympathize with it, but I hated school. Couldn't wait to get out. I wish now I'd stayed. I wished I had a PhD, but I didn't do that. And you know what? God didn't want me to have that. If he did, I would have gotten it. But I believe a lot of truth that people with PhDs don't even begin to have an understanding of. Why is that? It's because the Holy Spirit teaches us what he wants us to have. We are, as Christians, are like snowflakes. I learned on the film, The Wonder of Wonders, or The God of Wonders, ever what it was, that all the snowflakes are different. There's no two the same. I don't know. They said that in the film, and it sounds logical to me that God would do such a thing. God does some pretty wonderful things, unimaginable things. He saved me. So we're all like snowflakes. We're different, every one of us. We're diverse. When you think of diversity, you think black, white, yellow, red. You think Americans, Russians, Chinese, Japanese. But what about the churches? Is it someone's fault they're not a Christian? Of course, God didn't save sinners. Is it someone's fault they're not a preacher or a pastor? Well, it's God that calls them. It's God that makes them. It's God that prospers them and whatever prosperity he chooses to give to them. You know where people are responsible? When they disobey the word of God and they know to do it. I hear people sometimes telling me, "Oh, boy, Pastor, you'll never understand this. God, give me a new job." And you know what? I'm going to be making more money. Oh, yeah? Yeah, but there's only one problem with it, Pastor. I got to work on Sunday. I won't be able to come to church. Now, let me ask you this, really. You want to credit God with that job, and that's fine if you want to credit God with it, but really, is God going to give you something to keep you out of church? I understand people work on Sunday. I understand sometimes people have to work on Sunday, and, you know, we can't just go out and get new jobs. I understand. But what I'm talking about, when someone gets an advancement, somebody gets a promotion, but it takes them out of church. Every time I say something about this, somebody gets back with me and says, "So I guess I ain't supposed to work on Sunday." No, I didn't say that. I've worked on Sunday myself. What I'm saying is, if you take a promotion and you make more money and it takes you out of church, do not give God the credit. God does everything for us in our life. In fact, God has more to do with your life than you think he does. I went through a lot more of this than I ever thought I would this morning. I hadn't even got started. I told you it's going to be a long series. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. And I am in Romans. Preachers need to learn, once you get your Bible set, do not close it. You probably say, "Yeah, you don't need to slam it either." That's okay. I didn't hurt it. Still the word of God. I didn't knock any of the letters off of it. We're good. I don't think I mix them up. If I mix them up when I read this, be sure to remind me. In verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." Now your Bible should have in it, if it's proper, the word gifts in italics. That means it was added by the translators. So let's read it both ways. Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, or now concerning spiritual brethren, I would not have you ignorant. In other words, what are spiritual gifts? I'm not going to get much into this. So I'm going to go ahead and lay this out. A spiritual gift is anything the Holy Spirit gives to you. Now, down at the end of this chapter, it's going to talk a lot about the healings, and those are also spiritual gifts, but also your salvation is a spiritual gift. You did not make a choice for Christ. You did not turn over a decision for Christ. You did not in any way choose him. You did not repent on your own. You did not pray a prayer to be saved. The Holy Spirit quickened your spirit, Ephesians 2, and caused you to believe, giving you the faith to believe in. All spiritual gifts, isn't it? So before you get into things like, well, what this really talking about is those things like being pastors and being able to heal. No, anything spiritually given is a spiritual gift. In other words, if I was to take a $100 bill out of my pocket, I'm trying to really excite Larry here, and give it to Larry, believe me, he would be excited. If I was to give that to Larry, that would be a gift. If I was to take a new Bible that I bought I didn't particularly want and give it to him, that would be a gift too, wouldn't it? Anything I give to him and don't expect anything in return is a gift, isn't it? That's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. So spiritual gifts is anything God gave you through the Holy Spirit. I need to move on. Verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles. When you were Gentiles, you know that you were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord. How? But by the Holy Spirit. Or by a spiritual gift. Now, a couple of things here. First of all, if you call Jesus Lord, and it's from your heart, you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not believe like me. You may not think like me. You may be disappointed in me and what I believe, what I teach. But we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And one thing brothers and sisters in Christ cannot do is hate each other. And we were that way by God's choosing and by God's workings and by the Holy Spirit bringing it to us as a gift. The reason I know that because Ephesians 2:8 says it's a gift. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts. Listen to this last part of the scripture. But the same Spirit. They are diversities of gifts. Not everybody gets the same gifts. See, what we need to do as individual Christians is to sit down and count our blessings. That ought to be a song. I may write a song, Count Your Many Blessings. But really, we do, don't we? I mean, these songs are not just songs. They are spiritual in nature. I believe most of these songwriters were led by the Spirit of God to write these songs. These are written by spiritual people. And when the Lord tells us, and through a song, to count our many blessings, sit down and think about what God has done for you. You are a Christian because God hath made you a Christian. wasn't your job. It wasn't your work. People don't turn around and accept Jesus Christ their Savior. You have a lot of counterfeit Christians out there. You have multiple millions of counterfeit churches out there. Some of them are Christians and some of them are not. But one thing we do all have in common is we are spiritually diverse. You believe what you do because the Holy Spirit has put it in your heart to believe it. Don't give yourself too much credit. Don't sit there and think about, boy, I have worked hard through my... Thank God you worked hard. Lord says to study, to show thyself approved unto God. But don't ever take God, don't ever take the Holy Spirit out of the equation. What do you think, PhD people are stupid? Do you think they really are ignorant? Some of them are almost genius in their thinkings. They just don't understand the Word of God. They have no knowledge of the Bible, what it says. That makes them ignorant to the Word of God. But don't sit around and talk about it like they're ignorant. Some of them are probably more intelligent than all of us put together. What did the Lord say? The Lord said, I have to dumb down the wise to make them smart in the Bible. I have to take all that earthly wisdom away to make them smart in the Bible. So the Lord looks around and he says, hey, you know what? I'm just paraphrasing and kind of joking here. I'll take the meek things of the earth. That way I don't have to dumb them down. You know what I'll say? Thank you, Lord. What we have to understand, folks, is there's one Spirit, one Bible, and because we're different, it's because the Lord only teaches certain people certain things. The Spirit is diverse in His teachings to us. Just because you believe one thing, I believe another, doesn't make you right and me wrong. One of us is right and the other is wrong. It makes us believing different things, and the Holy Spirit doesn't teach us wrong things. I don't believe that. I believe He teaches us truth. And it's because He's taught me, or He's taught you, and He hasn't taught the other. Maybe, if we're diverse, instead of not appreciating your pastor or not appreciating another preacher or another Christian, maybe you need to pray about that. And while you're praying for yourself, maybe we ought to pray for the others to make sure that we get the wrong ones. Because I'm here to tell you, I am not right about everything. I am only right by what God's grace has given me to be right about. Let's read on. Sorry, I didn't mean to get that involved in this going down through here, because we're gonna teach all this. It's just going to take about 20 months. But anyway, and there are differences of administrations. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. I ought to ask the Lord what administrations means. We'll get to that. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all and in all. Do you see a diversity here? If you don't, I'm going to pray for you. Because a lot of people don't see diversities. They see they're right, you're wrong. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, the Holy Spirit, what He gives you is a profit. Like I gave Larry that $100, that's a profit to him, so it didn't cost me anything. You're going to ask me when this service is over, where's my $100? But anyway, don't, brother, it's not going to work. Anyway, you see what I'm saying? For the one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. There's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. We'll get to that. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Well, isn't all of us got faith by the Spirit? See, he's showing here that he gives people different things in life. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecies. To another, discerning of the Spirit. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And another, interpreting of the tongues. But to all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he wills. Don't miss those last few words. As he wills. Then verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are but one body, so also is Christ. Because the body is Christ's body. It has arms, legs, fingers. We'll get into all that later. That's the start of the church. What I want you to understand this morning, and we'll get back to this at 4 o'clock when we meet again. I ain't even started reading my notes yet. That's how passionate I am about this passage. Because when I look at commentaries of good men like Gill, Barnes, Jeremy Fawcett Brown, Wiersbe, and others, and I see everything scattered around, I know there's something there they're not understanding. Why aren't they understanding it? Because people don't want to understand diversity. Christians don't want to understand diversity. They think that they've worked hard in their studies. And because they've studied hard, worked hard, they're as smart as they are in the scriptures. But that's not the way God works. It helps that you've studied, worked hard. No, it helps that you come to church. If you don't go to church, you miss a blessing. Both of being there and hearing God's word, and hearing the message. But when Paul says, a man who is great as he was, in my opinion, one of the greatest men, if not the greatest, outside of Jesus Christ in Scripture, that I am what I am by the grace of God. And that ain't as far as he goes further. I'm not going to get into all it because I only got a minute or two left. He understood that everything he was as a Christian, an apostle, as a teacher, as a leader of the Gentile nation, and a leader of the church age, as a writer of 13 and 14 books of the Bible, why did he do that? Why did God use him? Because he was the apostle appointed to the church age. These books of the New Testament are to the church age. As we know, the church age is primarily Gentiles. A great man who understood this great truth that I am everything I am as a Christian, everything I am as an apostle. He even went as far to call himself the least of the apostles. Let me ask you, do you really think, in your mind, is Paul the least of the apostles? Do you see how the Apostle Paul, as great as he was, threw himself on the floor before God and said, Lord, I understand, I know that if it weren't for you, I wouldn't be a Christian. I'll still be a Jesus Christ-hating Jew and a church-hating Jew. A murderer, a holder of clothes while they stole Stephen to death, laughing about it, smiling about it, you only had to. And God, you took this man and you made him what he is. And Lord, it is because of you that I understand 1 ounce of the scripture. Instead of condemning others, instead of laughing at them, instead of mocking them, instead of ignoring them and not treating them like they're a Christian, pray for them. And thank God that you understand. And I talk to a lot of people that don't understand. And they may very well be Christians. I have no idea. The Lord says you can tell a tree by its fruits. Well, a lot of lost people work hard for God, just not according to knowledge, as Paul put it. Thank you for your attention. We will pick up with this and start on our notes at 4 o'clock this afternoon. You can kill that, Ronnie.
It's been dead. Ollie, you got about half of them.
It was dead this morning, and I charged it some. It went dead again. That's okay. We got it on audio. I figured we'd do two of them.